In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast, The Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And my name's Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside, and I have Pastor Mark Widmer with me in studio today. Pastor Mark, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, another beautiful day.
Yeah, and we look forward to our study again in the book of Judges. You know, Judges is a difficult book to study with all the disobedience and God's judgment, and yet what an example for us to make right choices. You know, we can choose our sin, but we'll never be able to choose our consequences. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Thank you for joining us. We're still in chapter one as we've just begun Judges. But Pastor Mark, why don't you just share a little bit of what's taking place here at Brookside?
Yeah, well, we look forward each week to our Sunday services, and we're on Sunday mornings. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, preaching through that, mm-hmm. and so that's a blessing. And then in the evening, the book of Psalms, and you've picked out a sampling of the Psalms that you, I, and Pastor Wade are preaching through. And coming up in June, we have a couple of things. We have a Nehemiah team at church, which is not a static group, but we've got about 8 or 10 people who are going to go to Wyoming to work at a Bible camp for a week, June 4th through 10th. And that's coming up in just a few weeks. But for all of us, we want to keep them in prayer and that they'd be safe in what they do, but they also be very productive there. Our children's Bible school coming up in the middle of June, the 19th to the 23rd, Monday through Friday, in the evenings. And that's just a very special time for families and children in particular.
Mm-hmm. We'll also be starting some Wednesday night cookouts, I think on May 24th.
Next week.
Yeah, next week we'll be starting that. And we kind of just tailgate in the back parking lot and got brats and burgers and got activities for our children, for our teens. And then we have Bible study, weather permitting, out back. And usually it's in the last couple of years, we've had nice Wednesday evenings.
Yeah.
So if it rains, we go indoors. But the food starts about 5:30, and then we start the Bible study, you know, between 6:45 and 7. So hopefully you can make that. And if you don't have a church home, love for you to come and visit us. But if you do have a church home, you be faithful and to your church, and we look forward to how you're going to grow there in a wonderful way for God's glory. Now, if you're just joining us, and we've just kicked off in the book of Judges, our theme is hearts of stone and feet of clay. And basically, just a quick recap, when the book of Joshua ends with the Israelites who had just entered the promised land, if you remember, they pledged wholeheartedly to honor and follow the Lord. In Joshua 24:24, the people actually said to Joshua, "The Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey." Years earlier, though, Moses had instructed the people that if they served the Lord faithfully, they'd be blessed. But if they rebelled against God, they would be severely punished. In Deuteronomy 30, he says, "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess." I mean, God keeps His promises regardless of our actions. And the people initially listened and obeyed the words of Moses. But even according to Judges 2:7, which we'll be getting into soon, the generation of Joshua served the Lord. They served the Lord faithfully. But soon after that generation died off, another generation arose that committed the ultimate evil in God's sight by worshiping idols and intermarrying with the people that they had not driven out of their land. But in chapter 1, we left off with their desire to want to continue to obey the Lord. And there was a king, as they went in to defeat the Canaanites and the Perizzites, there was a king that had been very cruel with other kings that he had conquered. And so we see that they actually, as they go in and have victory over the Canaanites, Moses was emphatic about, you know, let's do exactly what God told us to do. And that was they were going to bring judgment on this cancerous group of people as far as their own spirituality and morality. And God told them, it's not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you're going to go and possess this land. But he said, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you. And all the gory details of it you can find in Leviticus 18 and Deuteronomy 18. But look at what we read in verses 5 and 7 of chapter 1. Pastor Mark, if you would just pick that up for us.
Yeah, and they found Adoni-Bezek. I like that name. They found Adoni-Bezek and Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table, as I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is the only real editorial comment here is made by Adoni-Bezek himself when he said, God's paid me back. You know, the mutilation that he had of 70 kings who, he said, picked up scraps under my table. And Adoni-Bezek understood that God was paying him back cruelty for cruelty. However, that's not what God told him to do. Mm-hmm. God told him to go in and take the life, put them to death, not to torture them. So then in verses 8 to 10 of chapter 1, we see they go in, they have victory over the Canaanites. Israel conquered Jerusalem, and they rid it of any Canaanite culture. Israel took the hill country. They actually took the lowland, Negev, and the western foothills, and they took care of three enemy leaders. In verses 11 to 15, you see the conquest of a champion. Caleb's offer, capture Debir, and you can have the hand of my daughter, and Othniel, Caleb's nephew, captures the land, and he was married to Caleb's daughter, Aksah. Aksah's concern was about the water rights, and Caleb even gives her the upper and lower reservoirs and everything in between. But justifying disobedience has long been the norm for mankind. It started in the Garden of Eden with blame shifting and moves all throughout Scripture and is so prevalent today. Like the little boy who was running in church, his dad called him over, knowing that he had been warned about running in church. And he responded by telling his dad that the reason he was running in church was because he was chasing some boys to tell him, you cannot run in church. And that was a personal illustration for us in our family. But you see, in verses 16 to 26, there's partial disobedience. And we can say that 99% obedience is still 100% disobedience. I mean, I'm not being fully obedient to what the Lord has asked. And you see the erosion. It starts off with these excuses. Why don't you look at verse 19 and read that for us, Pastor Mark, if you would.
So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron.
Okay, well, we drove out most, but we couldn't drive out the Canaanites because, I mean, wow, they had these chariots. But hold on, isn't God bigger than iron chariots? Yes, he is, unless you are focusing on iron chariots. Any iron chariots in your life, I wonder? Something that you just say, oh, man, there is no way. But I'm going to tell you, we all need to keep our focus right now in trusting God and obeying him. But if your viewpoint is, well, let's form a committee and then let the committee search out how to actually deal with Iron Chariots, then as a group, we will take a strategic position on how we should take take them on. And the emphasis with that kind of thinking is what we are going to do and not what God can do. That's why Solomon in Proverbs 3, very familiar passage, says, trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And then verse 6 of chapter 3 says, be not wise in your own eyes. We try to figure it out. We're going to try to fix it. And that is sad that, that as a last resort, maybe we might turn to God. Remember, God has been giving Israel victory after victory after victory over their enemies. They've been trusting him. Continue on. God wanted the conquest of the land to be unexplainable in human terms. And that's how God is for us. He wants us to see his work in our lives. And Pastor Mark, I've always said that when teenagers and children can see the reality that God is real, and mom and dad are saying, hey, we prayed for this, and look, God did this. God provided. I don't know of a better lesson you could teach your kids or your grandkids. Yeah.
I read something this last week by Henry Blackaby. He said that if we do something in basically our strength and so forth, people never come to know God. But if we see God do what only he can, then we come to know God better, and all those around us come to know him as well.
Yeah, I mean, they can probably see it in our own dependence upon God when we're seeing God at work like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You have two fellows here. Caleb and Judah really stand in stark contrast to one another. Caleb, if you remember, said to Joshua, you give me that, give me this mountain, and I'm going to take it. Judah is ready to call his brother to come and help him. So it starts to slowly erode here, but then it follows with tolerance in verse 21. Why don't you read verse 21 for us of chapter 1?
But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day.
I'm always reminded that, you know, the Jebusites, they were really they'd taken Jerusalem. And it's only when David came and they're like, who are you to try to thank you? And he did, for the most part, run them out. But we'll pick up next week looking at how, or our next broadcast, which will be on Monday, that the Benjamites traded the challenge of conquest for this comfort of co-residency. They wanted to hang with them. And let me just close with by saying this, because this is where we live today. The tolerance of immorality, the tolerance of idolatry and disobedience of God's word will always, ladies and gentlemen, will always lead us to destruction. I hope we'll learn that from this study in the book of Judges, and we'll pick up again as we're getting ready to close out here soon with chapter 1. I trust you'll have a great day and that you'll be able to join us for our next broadcast. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.